Once again, we've come to that time of year that men around North America pretty much feel the way that an excited young bride feels 5 or 6 days before her wedding. That's right. The playoff matchups have been decided. We're just so excited. Pucked in the Head's going to talk about the East. That theme music can only mean one thing. That's right, once again, we've stolen copywritten material from friends of mine. Completely unrelated, the NHL has finally got the first season, the season that really doesn't mean very much, out of the way. And now we have the matchups set. Today, I'm here with my good friend Chris Withers to talk about the Eastern playoff matches. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Jason. I think that was possibly the silliest thing you've said today.
What's that?
You really think that there are 14 teams that are going to be thinking today that the regular season doesn't mean anything? I think the lower half of the table is actually quite upset that they're missing the playoffs and think that the regular season probably means a great deal.
You know, that's a good point, Chris. However, those 14 teams are sad sack losers and their opinions don't matter until at least September. Personally, my favorite part of this year anyway, and honestly, I don't remember if it's happened this way in the past. However, I do think it's interesting that on a weekend that saw teams like, for example, the Carolina Hurricanes, learn that they're not going to be playing hockey next week, they're going to be golfing, we also get to watch an incredible finish in the Masters.
Oh, that's great, isn't it?
But we do know about the 8 teams that are going to play in the East. So let's get it on.
All right, the first place team, the Washington Capitals, will be taking on New York. Once again, have their fate come down to the final game. This time, they managed to get in.
This year, they had to play their asses off just to get in.
Yeah.
And Washington also played their asses off in the second half of the season. At one point, they were in 10th place in the East, I believe, and they ended up winning the conference.
They came all the way back.
And that's a hell of a
half. They look very dangerous.
This is going to be a hell of a series, I think.
Yeah. Now psychologically, how do you think the Rangers approach the first round? Because they did not earn their way in. Carolina controlled their own destiny and handed the New York Rangers the 8th seed in the East.
Only in the last day. I don't actually buy that because Carolina made a hell of a run as well. They had a couple of shutouts in the last week of the season. Mm-hmm. And New York just won out. I mean, they won a lot of games down the stretch that they needed to win.
And yet,
even with the injured Ryan Callahan, didn't he break his leg?
Yeah.
And they still won?
That's going to be a huge, huge factor in the series. But
true enough.
You know what? 80 games gone in the regular season. The New York Rangers controlled their destiny and they lost. They had the ball. They fumbled it to Carolina.
Okay.
Carolina fumbled it back to them.
Well, okay, what was their record in the last 10 games of the season?
6-3-1.
The Rangers. And, I mean, that's not a bad 10 games.
It's not a bad 10 games.
That's 13 out of 20 points.
You know what? If they go 7-2-1, the season is over. And you don't have this drama of sitting around a television waiting to see if Carolina is going to give you a break.
The Rangers are a dangerous team, and they are a possible dark horse in the East. Because they have been playing, for their playoff lives since January.
You're just saying that because Philadelphia went on the run last year.
No, I'm saying it because John Tortorella has them playing good team hockey. And I think this series is going to go 6 or 7 games.
I do not. I think the loss of Callahan is going to end them. And I'm going to go ahead and predict Washington in 5.
Even though they don't have reliable goaltending.
I think they're good enough.
New York has got the top shutout guy in the league. King Henrik, you don't think that's a big game changer?
No. He could steal a game for him. He's not going to steal more than that. I've got Washington in 5.
I've got Washington in 7. But that can easily go the other way if Lundqvist has a hell of a series.
This is not the Washington team of years past. This is a team that is not having to outscore their problems anymore.
And we should talk a little bit about the Capitals because they have radically changed the atmosphere in the room.
Yeah.
From last year. They tried to run and gun everybody and they just tried to outscore whatever happened on the other end of the ice.
Yeah. It's not going to come down, I don't think, to Semyon Varlamov Varlamov or Michael Neuwirth. The Capitals are good enough playing team defense to just wipe the Rangers out.
And I have to say, I really admire the game change that Alex Ovechkin has made as well. Because before, he just wanted to score. And this year, he learned how to pass the puck. He's been quite a selfless player. On two-on-ones, he doesn't shoot every time. You know, he's...
Well, I mean, there were guys that were saying he's good, but he's predictable. And they were even saying this in the media, which I don't know if that had any effect on his play, but it could have. They were saying that, you know, if he comes down the wing, he's probably going to cut to the center and try to shoot through your legs.
Right.
And guys are playing that now. So he really had no choice. He had to learn to pass or become an ineffective player.
I also think that he is very motivated by the fact that Sidney Crosby, even though he was out for the latter part of the season with that concussion, that Sidney Crosby is winning the race. Olympic gold, Stanley Cup win, respected around the league, was 1.6 points a game this year and just a beast before getting injured. Ovechkin really feels like he needs to win a cup. He might be motivated enough to do it. Even taking a rest for the last few games of the season in order to be ready for the playoffs instead of just trying to score his way out and up his stats. I don't know. That's a pretty dangerous team over there, and I think they might go deep.
But for the series, you've got Washington in seven as your official
prediction? I've got Washington in seven with a heavy, heavy heart because I think the Rangers could pull it out.
Okay. And I have Washington in five. Moving right along, number two, Philadelphia against number seven, Buffalo.
Philadelphia has taken 40 games off, so they're ready to go. They've had a horrible second half, but I think that was by design.
They come into this into these playoffs with the worst last 10 record of any team at 3-4-3.
3-4-3 in the last 10, and that has been that way for the last 40 games.
A large part of that, I think, is due to Chris Pronger having some injury woes down the stretch. They are, I believe, going to have him back for the first round of the playoffs.
And Buffalo has had an amazing second half.
Yeah, Buffalo, by contrast, has the best last 10 record.
What are they, 8-1-1?
8-1-1.
And they have Ryan Miller back there. They've also got a good backup.
Now, is Miller going to be back?
I don't know.
Because Jonas Enroth has taken them down the stretch.
And he's been good.
Yeah.
He's been good. But what I like about the Sabres is that ever since being bought by Terry Pegula, they've had a much different atmosphere around the whole organization. This is not a team that's going to go away quietly. I'm picking Buffalo to beat the Flyers. And I think they're going to do it in six.
Six games for Buffalo, eh?
Yep.
On the back of Ryan Miller? Or are they going
to... Or Enroth. I say Buffalo is going to surprise the Flyers.
Philly's Achilles heel is definitely their goaltending. They haven't had a number one netminder since, what, Ron Hextall?
Bobrovsky is... This is the 20 more games already he's played this year than he's ever played at the pro level before.
Yeah.
He's never played more than 35 games at a pro level until this year. Now he's, what, at 54?
Mm-hmm.
And counting for a playoff run? I think he's tired. And I think Michael Layton is not going to come in and give a miracle run like he did last year.
Yeah, but Layton got through waivers, did he?
He got through waivers, that's correct.
I find that disappointing.
Why?
I think there should be a team out there manipulating the system to make sure that Philadelphia does not get that goalie that took him to the cup final last year.
Hmm.
Don't you?
Just by the fact that Philadelphia in the past has been a manipulating team. I mean, they gave an outrageous offer sheet to Ryan Kessler before he was worth the money that the Canucks had to either sign or lose. But that was back in the Bob Clark days, right?
Yeah. If you are one of the teams that could potentially face the Flyers in the first round, like Buffalo, like New York Rangers, like Carolina,
why wouldn't you pick them up waivers?
Why do you not submit a waiver claim and just throw them back into your farm system?
That's a good question. I mean, I would say the same thing about, there was another goalie that happened to, Ray Emery.
Well, Emery...
Or did Emery get chosen on waivers?
I think they might have... No, they signed him and they had to put him down... they had to put him on waivers to get him into the farm system.
Right.
But they were allowed to bring him back up through some loophole in the regulations.
Because he had already gone through waivers.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's happened a couple of times this year where goalies didn't get picked off of waivers that you thought would have been.
Yeah, Emery was such an unknown quantity when he was signed. They really didn't know if he was going to be able to come back and play in the NHL.
The other one that I was not surprised by was the New York Islanders picking up Nabokov. mm-hmm. when he came back from the KHL. But what I didn't like was Nabokov was so unprofessional, he didn't report. And yeah. now the Islanders are not going to allow him to play in the World Championships for Russia.
That's correct.
Which and I have to say it, I'm siding with Gar Snow on this one.
Yeah.
That the goalie is being unprofessional by not playing out.
And now he has, instead of just playing out a few games and that being the end of it, he now has to
he's got a whole report year.
Next year.
Yeah, he's got a whole year.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah. Philadelphia and Buffalo is a
mystery.
Discussion.
That's a mystery to me about the Leighton thing, about why nobody would pick up Michael Leighton, as you said, even just to, you know, screw the Flyers a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with Chris Pronger's got such a bad reputation for also screwing with people's heads. Why wouldn't they? I don't know.
You've already given your prediction of Buffalo in six games.
Buffalo in six.
Yeah. Buffalo is kind of a sexy first-round pick every year, and they never seem to come through for anybody. I'm going to go with Philadelphia, but in a long one, it'll be Philadelphia in seven.
All righty. This next series is... talk about a sexy matchup.
Original six, hated rivals.
Zdeno Chara and the ghost of Max Pacioretty. Boston and Montreal. Who doesn't love to watch these guys play hockey? Does Montreal show up and make it a series?
Oh, I think so.
Tim Thomas has broken Dominic Hasek's save percentage record for a single season. At .938, it is the best single goaltending performance by a starting goaltender in the history of hockey.
That's impressive.
That's pretty damned impressive. He's got a goals against average of 2.00. And his backup Tuukka Rask ain't no slouch either. On the other hand,
Carey Price is Carey Price.
They've got a guy who, after all the pressure he had on him, Carey Price tied Roberto Luongo for the most wins in the NHL. And Carey Price did not have the Vancouver Canucks scoring up a storm in front of him. Wow. What an interesting series this is going to be. What are you watching? What are you watching in the series? Is it a goaltending duel?
I don't think it's going to be a goaltending duel. I think it's going to be ugly. I think there's going to be hits, scrums. You might even see fights in the playoffs in this series. I think it's going
to
be ugly.
Montreal doesn't have the guys to go toe-to-toe with Boston. I mean, Boston's got big guys. Like, not just Zdeno Chara, but they've got Lucic.
Yeah.
They've got Nathan Horton. Like, these are big boys.
Well,
who does Montreal have?
Okay, maybe...
After Hal Gill.
Maybe they don't drop the gloves then, but there's going to be shoving after every whistle in this series.
I just don't see Montreal being able to play that kind of a series. Like, look at the teams they beat last year. They beat smaller, faster, skilled teams.
Yep.
In Washington and in Pittsburgh. But as soon as they came up against a big, bruising, physical team in the Flyers, they couldn't do it. I think Boston's got this, and I think they've got it. I think it's a short one. I've got Boston in five.
You don't think Carey Price steals more than one game for them?
I just don't think so. I think Boston has got a good mix there. I think that they are a threat to come out of the East.
Boston's problem is going to be offense, not defense. And I think against a good goalie and a reasonable defense in Montreal, they're going to have some offensive problems. I don't think it's going to cost them a series. I'm going to go with Boston in six for this one.
Okay.
Final series in the East. It's an interesting one. Really?
Snore.
Pittsburgh versus Tampa Bay.
Snore.
Because you don't care about the teams, or because you think it's going to be not very exciting?
I think it's not going to be very exciting. I think Pittsburgh, without Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, just is not interesting for me to watch. And I think that Steve Stamkos, has he scored a goal since November? I think he scored 45 goals in the first 10 games of the season, and then has dried up pretty substantially since then. I mean, I don't see Tampa Bay as being really an interesting story either.
Both of these teams come into the playoffs hot. Pittsburgh's 8-2-0.
Yeah.
Tampa's 7-3-0.
Hmm.
You're not impressed by what Pittsburgh's done without Malkin and Crosby?
I think Dan Bylsma has... I mean, he's had to do some really... He's had to tap dance as a coach in order to get this team to rally and play the way they have. I mean, they were threatening for the conference lead there for a little while without their two star players.
Yeah.
I admire that. I do. It's a lunch bucket team now without those two guys. I also... You know what? I think maybe part of me is kind of turning a blind spot to it because I really didn't like Matt Cook's play in the last half of the season. I didn't like what Pittsburgh did in that game against the Islanders that had the whole league talking about, you know, old-time hockey and how disgusting it is in today's environment. To be fair, for them to end up with a, what did they get, 104 points?
106.
106 points, which is actually, I mean, that's actually the second best record in the East.
Tied for it, yeah.
They're just not in the top three because Philadelphia won the division.
Yeah.
But that actually is the second best total in the East. That is pretty impressive because they haven't had Sidney Crosby for a long time and Malkin got hurt a while ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they have done some impressive things. It's still not a sexy team to watch. And you know what? I want to see skill win a cup. I don't want to see Lunch Bucket win a cup.
Okay. So you don't consider Vincent Lecavalier, Marty St. Louis, and Steven Stamkos to be skill? That doesn't excite you at all?
You know, I've watched Tampa, and they don't play pretty hockey. They score a lot of power play goals, but they don't play pretty hockey. Past those three guys, who do they got?
Couldn't tell you.
Exactly.
They got enough guys to get 103 points.
Playing against Atlanta folded in the second half and gave every point they could to Washington and Tampa. Florida, awful. So, I mean,
and then you got Carolina and Washington, who are two decent teams.
I'm sorry. I'm not interested in this series very much at all. Fine. Just because they have experience, I'll say Pittsburgh in six. But I'm bored. I'm bored talking about it.
The ageless wonder, Dwayne Roloson in goal for Tampa Bay. No? Nothing?
No. Pittsburgh in six. And Pittsburgh in six.
All right, Tampa Bay, six games.
All right, there you have it. Our predictions for the East for round number one.
All right, well, that was fun, Jason.
All right, thanks, Chris. Next time around, we're going to be talking about the West matchups, which we're a little bit more emotionally invested in. Hopefully, you will join us. Also, check out our episode number 28, Interview with a Fangirl. I'm especially proud of the cheesy opening. Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Spanish Main, but I'm alright. It's just a red wine stain. It's all too normal now, when once it seems so strange. Time for a construction crane, and I'm tearing up the rules to the game. Now the moon's on the wane, I'm feeling slightly more sane. I'm riding shotgun with my stuntman and we're ready for fame. But I'm losing my grip on the reins. It's all too normal now, and once it seems so strange, time for change.
Testing levels. This is the Pucked in the Head episode 30 playoff preview 2011 for the Eastern Conference.
29, I believe you'll find, Chris.
29?
Episode 29.
Well, I stand corrected, Jason.
And once again, we prove that Chris can't count.
Testing the levels one more time for episode 20-fucking-9.
Look, Chris, it's not my fault that you can't count. How many times do we have to go over this? You shouldn't take out your frustrations on people that have had no influence on a matter whatsoever.
I believe I was taking out my frustrations on the microphone and the universe at large. Your self-righteous, self-important attitude is a little bit tiring. Not everything is about you, Mr. Carrillo.
I wasn't talking about my ability to count whatsoever. I was talking about your inability to count, not about me.